Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home. Into the wild I'm going, into the wild I am. It's been a while, freedom child, since I left my roots back home.
Welcome to the Free Birth Society podcast. This is a radical space for women who are ready to celebrate their autonomous choices in birth, motherhood, and beyond. Together, we'll learn about wild birth through personal narrative, we'll explore the politics of birth, and we'll analyze everything that relates to our lives as women from a feminist perspective. Here's your host, Emily Saldea.
It's been a while, freedom child.
Hi.
Can you believe it?
No, I'm so happy to be here. Finally.
I love it. So this is an extra special episode for me today because Morgan is an IRL friend, which are always fun. I guess we should have maybe tried to just film this together. I need a studio.
Yes. Yes, you do.
I just don't know anything like tech. I don't know how to set one up, but we could use one of the yurts, you know?
That's very true.
Because it would
nice
be
nice space.
Because you're just like down the road from me.
Literally.
But anyway, so this is a special episode because Morgan is from our community here in this sweet little town that I've fallen in love with. And you vended at MRF. And so a lot of our community has your threads now. Yes, and you free birthed your baby. You were my nanny at the last two festivals ago.
Yes.
And yeah, you're just, I mean, you know this, but everyone else doesn't know this, that you are a part of this really sweet local crew that has connected with me, Julia, and Erica, who have moved here to this area, and Morgan and her best friend is Riley, who's our school teacher, and their other best friend is Jamie, who is also in the mix with us. And so yeah, just a very it's cool and special, but also Jamie's at my house right now and I just told her that I was about to talk to you, and like we're really changing the culture of Hayesville.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
totally are.
Which is like, I know I'm doing it like on a planetary scale, but you and Tessa and like things are happening locally in a real way, you know? And so anyway, it's cool because it's a tangible way to see the ripple effects of what we're about and what we're doing.
Absolutely. It's crazy because me and Raleigh used to always be like, I feel like something big is going to happen here. I don't know why. But we just feel like before you ever moved here, and then like we're like, I think this is what we were talking about.
That some crazy chick moved to your town.
Yeah, some crazy chick that just brought all this amazing things and
blew it up.
An amazing festival, an amazing community.
I know. I do imagine like being local, like Ellie coming this year, and being local and like realizing that this happens here. You know, I mean, even with our school, like that's not a normal part of the
absolutely.
Of the culture.
There's a lot of women here that appreciate it though, more than I would have thought.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it's the new way, the old way. The old way is the new way. All right, let's get into it, girl. So who the heck were you before this pregnancy? You know, how did you kind of like orient around the medical system and then tell us about this baby and this pregnancy and your choices, and at what point do you even know that you're going to make the choices you make, and just kind of start us at the beginning.
So before this pregnancy, I will say I've never been one to like be in the medical system. Like I kind of always knew that I guess it was something I never really thought about much in my early 20s because I didn't have a baby in my horizon then, but I definitely kind of always knew that I wasn't going to birth in a traditional way. And then,
well, non-traditional in a modern way.
Yeah, in a modern way.
Right.
Yeah,
tradition,
exactly,
like,
right. Yeah,
it,
totally.
Home birth is how we've always birthed.
Yes, yes.
Sorry,
so in a
going
in a medicalized, yeah.
Yeah.
But so I actually was living in Asheville, in the Asheville area, and COVID happened, and that's what like kind of made me and Riley both, we were both living out there, and that's what made us come back. And I came back home, and she, like, not too long after that, met you while she was bartending, I think. And I guess that's when, like, it started. I didn't realize then, but that's when it kind of started coming into my, you know, life of me thinking about, okay, like, how am I going to do this? Like, what is the life that I'm going to create? And how am I going to bring my children into this world? And how am I going to raise them? And so that's when, like, that all started coming up for me, I suppose. And
you were already married at that point.
Yes, already married. Eli and I got married in 2019. So, yes, we moved back here, I believe, at the end of 2020. So, but it's crazy, really, like, we did consciously conceive. And whenever I was not in a great place, whenever I did get pregnant, like I wasn't living the life that I really had imagined for myself, and I had a job that I wasn't really into. And I had kind of like decided, I was like, okay, like I'm about to go through a major transformation with this, but in becoming a mother. And I was like, I'm going to use this as a catalyst to transform my life into what I want it to be. Like, I'm going to stop, you know, working places that I don't want to work and spending my time on things that I just am not inspired by. And my original plan was that after I had the baby, I wasn't going to go back to my job. And I just remember I was sitting at my desk one day in the beginning of my pregnancy, and I was like, I can't do this entire pregnancy. Like, I'm going to be miserable. It's going to affect me and my baby negatively. Like, something's got to give. I can't finish out this job for the remaining 7 months or however longer I had. And that day, Riley actually contacted me and was like, hey, like, Emily's looking for a nanny. And I think I FaceTimed you that day or the next day. And I put in my notice for my job and decided to come work for you, which was like a godsend. Like, I absolutely had the most amazing pregnancy because I was basically in like a sanctuary for pregnant women, like at your house every day. It was just awesome. And yeah, like, I'm nannying your baby. And I think Sawyer was only like 3 months old at the time.
Yeah, because
when I started
you when I was in Dominican Republic, I remember, because I was like in my bathing suit. And
yeah,
so yeah, we went there when he was 8 weeks and then came back, yeah, like 2 months later. And you started as soon as we were back.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, my whole pregnancy was just, I mean, I had such an easy pregnancy, and it was just so, all of it was just great, honestly. Like, couldn't have asked for a better situation with that. And of course, like, just having you there, anytime I had questions, anytime I had any concerns, I'm with you at work every day. So it was like, it worked out really perfectly.
Yeah, I would be like,
and I got to
attend.
I would
be like, I'd like come in from my office, and which is independent of my home, and I would hear my voice in the, like, in one of the rooms, and I'd be like, what the fuck is that? And it would be you listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, I was
taking care of a baby and listening to the Free Birth Society podcast while another one was getting filmed in the you know, office over. Yeah. But yeah, it was great. And it was great that it was kind of, I was almost at 40 weeks whenever Matriarch Rising happened. And I was good though, so I decided just to work it out. And
thank God,
I nannied Sawyer the entire time. Yeah, it all worked out perfectly.
Remember how sick he was?
Yes, he was so sick.
He was so sick.
That was hard, very hard.
And I have a picture of you. It's so hot. You're so pregnant. And you're wearing him on top of your belly, just being super nanny about to give birth.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like carrying around all over at the festival. So funny. But yeah, so that was
your pregnancy was pretty chill, it seemed, from the outside.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. I have literally no complaints about my pregnancy. I mean, it was also cool because I had Zephyr maybe, I think it was a week and a half after the festival. So I was like coming off the vibes of the festival and like just already getting in that whole like mind space, and it was great.
And so you chose a wild pregnancy. Like, tell me about that. I mean, I know it's kind of a unique scenario of you actually being directly like in my field, but like when, so maybe this is an obvious question, but I just want to hear more about your process with it. Like, when did you decide to have a wild pregnancy? Why did you decide that? How did that get navigated within your marriage and your family? You know, did you tell people? Did you not tell people? Like, flesh out all of that, you know, because of course, like, this is what women are dealing with when they're trying to decide what to do. So yeah, when did you like learn about these choices, and why did you choose them, and how did it actually kind of look in your pregnancy?
So I decided, well, I will say I did go to a local midwife twice at the beginning of my pregnancy, and I just got blood work done and I found out the gender of the baby. But I think really what led me to absolutely choose that is all of the stories that I had heard of, you know, things going wrong. And it was like, not even just, I obviously heard a lot of those stories through you and your podcast, but even just like the women in my life, like my mother, my grandmothers. And it was like, they didn't even realize that it was a negative thing and that it was a traumatizing experience and experience that they had had. And so that definitely pushed me more towards staying out of the medical system completely. And my husband was on board from the beginning. I mean, he didn't question me. He never had any doubts in me. He was just, and I'm very lucky to have had that, because it just makes it, not that obviously you can do it without that support, but having that support makes it just that much less stress on you. And like having your partner have your back on everything. And, you know, if anyone did have any comments to say about it, he was there and had my back. And there, I told most of my family and his family, but there were some people that I had to hide it from. Well, I say I had to hide it from. I did not have to hide it from them, but I chose to hide it from them. And, but it's crazy. Once, you know, once I gave birth and everything went well, nobody really had anything to say about it after that. Mm-hmm. It was just like, there were a few people in my life that did have like doubts and that were fearing because of my choices to give birth, you know, at home with just my husband. And but that all kind of dissipated. And I will say, I actually I remember I was talking to you one day about this whenever I was working for you, and I was just like, it sucks that I have to lie about these things. And you just looked at me and you were like, you don't have to lie about these things, you're choosing to lie about them. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, you're right, like I don't have to make other people feel comfortable, which seems like so minuscule, but like that is a huge thing for women to truly, you know, grasp onto and say, like, I'm going to be myself and I'm going to just say, this is what I'm doing. And it's not your life, you know?
Like,
And that was
imagine
like
a
a
world. Imagine one day. Imagine if one day all the women on the planet didn't lie.
Exactly. I
What
mean,
do you
it's just
think would happen?
crazy.
That's
Like, you
actually a
don't
great,
even.
that's a great premise for a book or a story. Like,
Definitely.
what would happen?
And it's like sometimes, like, I didn't even realize, like, I was like unconsciously lying, like, unconsciously, like, watering myself down. And I don't do that anymore. And it's very liberating. Yeah.
Well, and I understand. I mean, unconsciously, we're doing it because we are motivated to garner approval, and we want to, again, this is largely unconscious, but we want to control how other people perceive us. And because we are making up, so many stories all the time about other people, then we unconsciously try to perform in such a way that our projection of them thinks they want. Right. So it's like this
Exactly.
whole one-sided game. Like, you're actually doing the whole thing within yourself, but you feel but you, I mean, all of us, think that it's something that you're doing for them. But even that's a lie. It's all within ourselves, and it is liberating. I also understand that it's risky. There's risk, in being who you really are. And those women out there courageous enough to do it, or at the very least inch towards it, the bullshit just shakes off. And
It
so,
does.
yeah, what's left is like real. And God, doesn't that feel good?
I want you to close your eyes for a moment and picture this with me. It's summer solstice. You're in the Blue Ridge Mountains, surrounded by wild women, sleeping under the stars, waking up to women singing in circle, and filling your days with expansive workshops, inspiring performances, and healing ceremonies, all with the sisters you've hoped to find for your entire life. From embodied dance classes to workshops on holistic pelvic care to transmuting the sister wound ceremonies, day in, day out, it is high vibes, and the best part, it's women only. And it feels so, so good. This is the essence, the magic of Matriarch Rising, the luxury 5-night camping retreat here on my very, very special land in Western North Carolina. From award-winning, chef-prepared 5-star meals 3 times a day to daily kids' camps full of magical activities and compassionate care for your children, to gorgeous, comfy glamping tents and some of the most beautiful scenery that Mother Nature has to offer, to a schedule perfectly curated to fill your cup. Matriarch Rising is the summer camp for the grown-ass woman, and I want you to join us this year. When you drop your name on our list below, you get our virtual Matriarch Rising Festival with a bunch of awesome workshops from some of MRF's most beloved teachers. And hey, I hope to see you on the dance floor under the stars soon.
Yeah, and you also realize that, like, it's really not much different on the other side when it comes to, I mean, people are not always gonna accept you either way. You know, like, people aren't always gonna be happy with who you are. And, you know, people are going to, and that's just something that we have to do in life. So you can either show up authentically or not, you know.
And this idea of like, so what? So my mom's going to be nervous for me. My neighbor won't understand. Like, and then what? Like, it's pretty not thought out on a conscious level. Like, so what? So what if your mom is nervous? She's an adult. Like,
Yeah.
it's okay. I think really what it is what I said earlier. It's that we're hardwired to garner approval and belong with the herd, to be a part of the tribe and to perform in such a way that we're accepted. And so when
Exactly.
we do stuff that potentially, or when we straight up are taught that this kind of stuff will make us not be accepted by society or our community, and we do something different, yeah, that is risky. But kind of what we said at the very beginning, the ripple effects, the courage that you had to follow your authentic path, the ripple effects are notable in our community, in your social group, in your friends and family. And
Absolutely.
it's like, well, who do you want to be in the world? Like, look what happens when you're your authentic self. Like, the world actually becomes a better place.
Yes, absolutely. And you also realize that when given the opportunity, especially like your friends and close family, like a lot of the times in the end, they are going to respect you and they are going to hop on board with you, which is something that I have came to the realization of. So
And if not,
then did they really need to be
get
in
the
your
fuck
life?
out, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and I think for a lot of women having their first baby, you know, you're a young mom, it's your first baby. There is this natural, you know, maturation process of like you becoming mother, you know, and shifting out of just the daughter, shifting out of the younger girl in your community and in your family. You know, there's this like big turning of the wheel when a woman becomes a mom in her family. And so, you know, I see it all the time of this, and it happens at different paces, of course, for everyone, but this transition of like, I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm not just the daughter. I'm not the little sister. I'm a mother now. And not a lot of women claim that. And sometimes it takes women many children to claim it. But I really saw you in a very quiet way because that's your personality, but and other women who do this, you know, make this choice, like you kind of claimed it right off the bat by thinking for yourself, by staking your claim, and you didn't do it in some aggressive in your face way, which whatever is also fine, but you just did it in a very quiet, mature, you know, embodied way, and then you got to see the results of it, which is your community was like, great, that's dope, for the most
Yeah,
part, what I
exactly.
know.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, like, it's so when you're around inspiring women and women that have done this and stepped into motherhood in that way, it's a really easy thing to not emulate, but to follow and to get on board with, and to like being around inspiring women and create. It creates inspiring women. And it's just like this ripple effect that you really don't even have to try super hard. It just naturally happens.
And it becomes the normal, you know, because
Yeah.
so many women, like, you know, you kind of have this like unique initiation, obviously, being around Julia and Erica and I, and you know, kind of the stuff we've already figured out. But most first-time moms I know who are free birthing, like all they have is like the podcast. Like they've never met anyone in real life. You know, they've
Yeah,
never
which is,
seen. Yeah, it's
and I
a
can't imagine. I mean, I have even thought about that, you know, like, would things have turned out different had I not had all of that? Because I can't imagine. It's hard for me to put myself in someone else's shoes and see, like, because I just don't know what it's like to not have that community. And I can't imagine. Like, women need community. I mean, there's just nothing around. Like, there's no way you need community with other women.
And they need to be shown what's possible because, again, going back to that risk assessment, it's gonna feel too risky for most women if they don't have an example of someone being okay on the other side. I don't just mean surviving, but like still accepted, like the social aspects, you know? Yeah, it's all
Yeah.
very interesting because it's so primal, it's so biological, and then it's also so heady and. It's just such a big deal. And also, it's so simple. And that's why I love these stories because it's like, oh, cool, you got pregnant and had a baby and didn't make a big thing about it. Like, great,
Yeah.
you know, but also, it's like totally changes your life by doing that.
It is. It does, and it changes really the world at large. I mean, like, I think the more that this spreads and the more women that come back to themselves and do give birth in this primal way, the whole entire world is going to heal more and more and more.
Course. I mean, you now have a son who's a future man in the world who doesn't come from trauma. He
Exactly.
wasn't traumatized at birth. He wasn't circumcised. He wasn't shot up with 35, you know, poisonous injections. Like he doesn't have any trauma. He was nursed and co-slept, and he got all of the biological, like foundational starts to just like a really, and obviously the proof's in the pudding. If you spend 2 seconds with him, you see his brightness and his contentness and his connection and, you know, all of the stuff that's so obvious in babies that are born like this and that are mothered this way. And it's a really big deal because he's going to be a 30-year-old man someday. He's going to be
Exactly.
a husband. He's going to be a
Yeah.
father, and he's basically like of a different breed than the vast majority. It's amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so what else about your pregnancy do you want to share about?
My
Any like
pregnancy.
challenges? Like, was there any like, what was the work of your pregnancy? Anything in that regard?
Well, I think back to what I said, I was just kind of like, I put myself in this sort of cocoon and I felt kind of away from the rest of the outside world in a lot of ways because I, even though I didn't, yes, I had said I didn't tell everyone what was happening in my life. I told some. And so I guess that's what kind of drove me into this cocoon of like, I was just like, I'm not listening to any outside opinions on this. And that sort of like, I didn't realize the transformation that I was preparing myself for, but like, it's just crazy because, you know, a lot of women don't get the experience where they're aware and they are using birth as this transformational thing. And I was able to do that from the very get-go. Like I didn't have any trauma to work through before when it came to this or any of that. So I just really made it this positive thing in my life, and that's what it was. That's what I thought of it as. So that's what it was, and that's what it became for me in my life. And I think that also just becoming a mother that has inspired other pregnant women has been like such a huge thing for me. And like I like after right after I gave birth, I started having all these local women come and message me and ask me all these questions. And I'm like, wow, like I really have transformed into the women that I was looking up to. Yeah.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, that's really beautiful and special.
It is. It really
That's so
is.
cool. How old are you?
I am 28.
Okay, so not a wild pregnancy, my bad, but you see a midwife, and was it mostly for the you wanted to know the sex of the baby and just like feel it out? Were you like interviewing her to see about potential attendance, or what was the deal with that?
No, I didn't ever intend on. I just wanted to go and get my blood work done and find out the gender of the baby. I had never intended for me to use her or to have, you know, a backup plan or anything. I specifically just went for that blood work. And the lady that I saw was, I mean, she was an awesome lady. And I ended up, I did tell her that I was having a home birth, and she just, you know, kind of brushed it off and was like, okay, like, you know, which was also amazing because I know a lot of story of these
Right.
of women going into a medical situation and saying that this is what they're doing, and then they're like shunned about it, or you know, like you're putting your baby in danger and all this. So I didn't have to deal with that.
And with finding out the sex of your baby, is that something that you think you'll do again?
No, I've just, I think it was just like because he was my first and like we were so excited, like we wanted to know the gender. And but in my future pregnancies, I won't be seeing anyone at all or going to any appointments.
Okay. So, I mean, if you feel like you've shared enough about your pregnancy, you could get into
The birth.
story.
Okay, yeah, let's do it. So I'll just start with the day of. I had went to the a local watering hole, water hole, swimming hole with my friends, and it was like down a mountain, so I like struggled getting down and out of there for sure. But it was crazy because like I really in my head was like, I hadn't felt any like sensations or anything. So I was like, it's going to be like another week at least before I give birth. Like, I don't know why, but in my head, that's just like where I was at. And
Because if you
yeah, so
didn't
I've
think that, you wouldn't have gone down a mountain and gone to a watering hole. Like, we just have to make this shit up so that we can, like, get through our
exactly.
day.
I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I'm not having a baby for at least a minute. So yeah, we were there. I was there with like Riley and Jamie, and like my mother came, and coincidentally, my grandmother came, who never goes and does stuff like that. So that was special for her to be there. Yeah. And yeah, we just spent the day there, and we were like leaving, and everyone was like, we're like getting in our vehicles, and I'm over here like sweating and like panting. And everybody was like, next time we see you, you're gonna have a baby. And I was like, I don't know, I don't know. And so I went back home, and it was just, I mean, it was really a normal day, you know? I mean, I was just going through my day like I usually would. It was a Sunday, so we got home from that and we made dinner, had dinner. I have no recollection of what I ate, but that night Riley texted me and was like, I feel like you're gonna go into labor tonight. And I was like, okay, like I guess. And so we laid down to go to bed, and it was like probably Eli had already passed out, and it was like 11 o'clock, and I like kept having to get up and go to the bathroom over and over again, and I just felt totally uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, well, this is just because I'm, you know, over 40 weeks pregnant and I feel uncomfortable. And then like I got up a final time and my water broke. And I didn't take that as like, oh, there's going to be a baby here very soon, because I'd spoken to you and I knew that like your water can break way before and you don't know how long it's going to be. So I just kind of woke Eli up a little bit, and I was like, hey, like my water just broke. Like, I don't know if anything's happening, but, and he was like, are you sure it just broke? I was like, yes, I'm positive. I just got up and it went all over the floor. And I did text you, and just to let you know that something might be happening that night, because I kind of had you on call just in case. And then I think I laid there for maybe an hour, just kind of like seeing if anything was going to happen. And I had my first contraction. And, you know, at my first contraction, I was like, oh, this is not bad at all.
I
I
got
was like, this
this.
isn't, I was like, I can do this all night. And yeah, I just like waited. I waited a couple hours before I had Eli like go and blow up the pool, because I wanted the water to stay warm and all of that. But I was just kind of like walking around, breathing through it. And I was reading my affirmation cards and just getting myself kind of in that space. And when I started like really having some like more intense sensations, I was like, okay, like fill up the pool. I feel like I should get in some warm water, which was amazing for me to get in warm water. Like that, like completely changed everything that I was feeling. Like I didn't want to put any pressure on the lower part of my body, so I kind of would just float in there, and it just really helped me get through those contractions a lot. And Eli was, of course, being great. He was just like following me around with some water and like changing the music if I wanted him to change the music. But yeah, it wasn't really that intense for me for like, I would say the first 5 hours. But then I got up out of the pool and I went to the bathroom. And I now looking back, I see that I was in transition, and I was like at the peak of everything during all this. And I was just like, I went into such a psychedelic state when I was in this bathroom and having like back-to-back contractions. And like, I like at first I think I was like trying to run from that, and I was trying to like get away from the pain, I guess. And I like went and got on my bed, and I was on all fours, and I was like just wailing and trying to get through these contractions. And overall, I think I was resisting these contractions. And every time I would, you know, have a break from one, I would like roll over on my side, and I would, my body was just, I wanted to go to sleep so bad because I'd been up all night, and I just kept telling myself like, I need to sleep, I need to rest, knowing obviously like there was no resting during this time. And I just like had this, something just came over me and was like, get up and get in the bathroom and get through these things.
Have a baby.
And have a baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like get up. We're going to do this. Like, you cannot lay down right now. You can't go to sleep right now. This is where we're at, and we're going to get through it. And so I went back in the bathroom, and I would say it's so hard to like keep up with a time frame when you're in that portal, because you just forget about time and everything. But I would say I was in there for maybe another hour, and I was just really like out of it. I mean, it was this crazy psychedelic experience for me, and I don't know exactly always how to put it into words when I get to this part of my story, but I could feel like my ancestors surrounding me, and I could feel like the spirit realm just getting closer and closer to me. And I was having all of these crazy visions, and it just felt really, it felt really primal. And I was just screaming, and, you know, Eli was like coming up to me whenever I would have a super hard contraction, and I would like pull on him to like have some resistance. And then he would kind of go out of the bathroom and like give me my space, because he could tell, later he told me he could tell that I was like in a different world at that point. And that was the point in which I was traveling through the portal and meeting the spirit of my baby. Like, I could, it's crazy to explain, but I just could feel myself going and like grabbing his spirit and bringing him back with me.
You're coming with me.
Yeah. Like, and it was amazing. I mean, it was super painful, of course, but it was also the most amazing experience that I've ever had. And once I got through that, I was like, okay, like I need to get out of this space and go back to the pool. And I was like, I think he's going to be here soon. And so Eli like took me back to the pool, and I'm not going to say that it wasn't painful after that, because it was still painful, like at him actually coming down and coming out. But once I got past that in the bathroom, where I was in the transition and I had this huge spiritual experience, it was like that was the climax of it all. And it was all kind of downhill from there for me. And I was just, you know, in the pool, and I was just breathing through it. And I just was like, I remember like pep talking myself, because I was just so exhausted. And I was just like looking at Eli, and I was like, I can do this. I was like, I can get through this. Like, I can do this. I'm going to do it. And he's like, yeah, you can do it. You can do this. Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And just kind of waiting. I didn't like, when I was in the pool the final time, I had the urge to push at one point. And I just remember thinking like, there's no way, like, I feel like I'm going to do damage to myself if I push. That's where I was at with it. I just, for something was just telling me like, just let him come down. Everything's going to be fine. Don't rush it. And I feel like the more that I kind of gave in to that voice in me that was saying like, don't rush things, like just let this happen, the less I was resisting it and the less painful it became for me. And it was like almost like a choice of letting it take over you. And I was just, I think I had, I like felt to see where he was at, and I could feel his head. And I told Eli, I was like, he's going to be here soon. I can feel him. And he was over there like readjusting the camera right after I said this. And literally I like kind of like sat back and thought I was just going through another contraction, and I just like sat back like this kind of, and he just like came out.
Oh
Like, it
my
was
God.
like, it was the craziest thing. Like, there was no, he didn't crown. Like, I didn't see his head ever. Like, it was just one big contraction, and he just shot out,
Whoa.
which was amazing as well. And it's crazy, like, when you're in the middle of giving birth, you're like, I am never doing this again. Like, I can't get through this. And then, like, as soon as it's over, you're like, I did that, and I can do that again, and I will do that again. Like, it's just the most amazing feeling when you finally get through it and you finally get to hold your baby on your chest for the first time.
So he shot out into the water
Yeah, he
and
shot.
you're good.
I had no idea that he was coming at that point. Like, I knew it was, I was like thinking like, oh, I have like maybe 4 or 5 contractions left, which of course I also didn't know.
Right.
But yeah, he just like shot out into the water, and I looked down and saw that he was there. It was so weird. It was like I almost didn't even feel him come out.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I just like picked him up, and you can actually like hear Eli in the video. He's like behind the camera, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, you did it. You did it. Yeah.
Cute.
And yeah,
Oh,
we're just like,
I've never seen your video.
yeah, I actually sent it over so
Did
you can
you?
watch it. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was trying to chill in the pool for a little bit, and I was just thinking, like, I need to get out and get this placenta out of me so we can rest, because I had been up all night because I laid down and went into labor immediately. So I was just exhausted. And so I think I stayed in the pool just kind of, collecting myself and like being with my baby for like maybe 10 minutes. And then I got up and Eli helped me to the bed, and we called you. And it was crazy. It was like no one knew. Everyone that knew I was going to be in labor, and they had all been like leaving their phones on high. And then that night, for some reason, no one did. And so no one knew until like an hour before he was born that I
Cute.
was in labor, which kind of worked out, because then it just left no room for anyone to get worried or whatever, And so we called you.
Eli was like, she had the baby. He's here. What do we do? What do we do next? What do we do? What
Yeah.
do we do now? So cute.
Yeah, he was like, what do I do? He's like, Johnny, my son is here.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so you just kind of like talked to, I can't remember our exact conversation because I was like so out of it at this point, but I know that you told me that I needed to get the placenta out, and you told me how to get the placenta out. And I at some point got up, went to the toilet, got the placenta out, put it in a bowl, and I came back into the bed, and me and Eli and the baby Zephyr, we all three passed out for like 4 hours and
Amazing.
just slept. Yeah. Which felt so good to like, that's what I tell a lot of people. I'm like, the best feeling to me about having a home birth was being at my house for postpartum, like immediately being able to get into my own bed. And, like, I just can't imagine doing that anywhere else other than in my own home.
Oh my God, totally. And like the strangers. And the
Yeah,
smells.
exactly. Like
Yeah.
I was just so grateful. I was like, I'm at home. I can just go to sleep, and I'll talk to everybody when I wake up. Yeah, so we just, I do remember whenever I woke up after that little 3 or 4 hour nap. First of all, I was like in total bliss because I like wake up and come to, and I look down and like, I'm like, my baby's here. Like, I did it. I did it. I got through it. Like, it was amazing. Everything was perfect. And you're just on this huge high from all of that. And I looked over at Eli, who was also exhausted because he had been up all night. And I was like, call my mom. I was like, she needs to come cook and clean for us and take care of us for today, because neither of us have the energy to do it. So, yeah. So my mom came and she cooked us a meal. And she cleaned everything up. She cleaned up my birth pool, like just kind of best. Was my postpartum midwife. And yeah, it was just all a beautiful experience. And I think it really healed a lot of stuff for my mom too. Like just like seeing me experience things in a different way than she did. And that was kind of like a full circle thing for her.
Yeah. How could it not be?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, my mom all the time, multiple times a year that she watches me mother, she just looks at me and goes, I wish I could have a redo. And it's like really sad, you know, but I always say to her, like, I'm your redo. Like,
yeah,
I'm doing it through
exactly.
I exactly. Am it. Don't worry. You don't have to do the redo. I got it. So
yeah,
it's so profound.
It really is. And I just like have such a deeper understanding now of my mother and my grandmothers and just me experiencing birth in the way that I did and knowing that they didn't get that experience makes me understand them on such a deeper level. And, you know, I have been able to move past their mistakes and forgive their mistakes. And that has also been a huge piece of me embodying my womanhood. So
yeah, and like moving out of the child, moving out of the teenager, moving out of the daughter. I mean, you're always a daughter, but like the maturation process of you really taking your place, right?
Yeah.
As a mother. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very healing.
Tell me about postpartum and nursing and healing. And I'm assuming you didn't go take your baby to be circumcised and vaccinated. And
I did not. No, he didn't do any of that. Nope. Yeah. So postpartum was awesome. I mean, I really enjoyed like just having the space to just, you know, chill in bed. And Eli was off of work for 2 weeks. I think he was actually working for you at the time as well. And he was off for 2 weeks and he just waited on me hand and foot. And we had a meal train going. So we had people like constantly bringing us meals and, you know, anything we needed. And I think the hardest thing that I dealt with in postpartum was I had a lot of pain when I was breastfeeding. And it was like, I don't know, it's not like it was like too much for me to deal with because obviously I dealt with it and got through it. But when you are in such a sensitive state and your body has just went through the birthing process and all that, like it's like seems like so much more to deal with and so much more on your shoulders to be dealing with pain when you're nursing your baby. And so that was like something that definitely frustrated me a lot.
And how long did that
at last? Times it was only maybe the first week and a half, and I mean it was like really bad at first and it just slowly was getting better and better. And I think I had talked to you actually about it, and you know, you had said stuff about like ties and stuff could maybe be the issue. And I think that he does have a lip tie, but I was able to get through it without having to correct that. So, you know, I haven't, after the first 2 weeks of birth, I didn't have any trouble nursing.
Yeah.
It was just like that transition.
Yeah. And that's an important thing for women who aren't moms yet to hear, because it's very common for it to hurt in the beginning, and it staying hurting is different, you know, than like what you kind of gave the opportunity, you know, to unfold, which was to kind of get with it and then it became pain free or painless. And I think that's quite common, but a lot of women, especially if you birth in the system and you have 14 different people consulting you and telling you what to do, if it hurts, they go right to the shields and the pumping and the, it's just so complicated, and getting the LC in and getting the lip tie assessment and scheduling the revision. And then it's like, oh my goodness, and the cranial sacral. And you just like go into all of this active management essentially. But a lot of women don't even give themselves or know that they could give themselves the time to just see if you can make it work. And I'm saying that because a lot of times it will be what you described. It will hurt. And then you guys figure it out. And if you had a, different setup, it could have gotten a lot more complicated. And then you're on that train,
Yeah,
once.
it definitely felt like this thing that I could have made into a bigger drama in my life
For sure.
than I did. And I am glad that I didn't, because there were times when I was like thinking like I might need to do something about this, but it went away fairly quickly, and I didn't have to, like, I didn't, after experiencing a free birth, you don't, the last thing you want to do is take your baby to the doctor to have surgery on its lip. I mean, that was just like not something I was interested in at all.
And not all ties are created equal, and lots of newborns have ties and can still nurse successfully. And so that's an important thing to know, because if you are a woman birthing with providers or so-called providers, their assessment of baby might put you on a track that you sincerely don't need to be on. Both my babies have restrictions and are totally fine and nurse totally fine, and that's not uncommon. So
Yeah.
thankfully it was only a week and a half.
Yeah. So that was like the one downside, but other than that, like everything just went perfectly, and my community really came together and held me and took care of me, and it was all just really great. And I also like want to touch on the boundaries that I had, because a lot of people initially, like, it's just a cultural thing to the first day the baby's born, you get to meet the baby. Like, everyone gets to meet the baby, And I was like, no, like, I was like, you have to wait. And
Hurts.
that was just like, that was a boundary that I had to make. And I probably irritated some people, but you can't get back those first days of postpartum.
And no one is entitled to you
No.
and by extension, your baby. And obviously, we live in a society where they do feel entitled. And
Yes.
women were property. Women are still property around the world. I mean, it's not great out there. And so there is a lot of our own social conditioning where we get to decide, should we be privileged enough, to be free? Should we get to make these decisions? We do get to decide how much we want to play or entertain this idea of entitlement. And boundaries are the opposite of that, of course. And yeah, I think it's really different when you birth in a hospital and you're drugged and you're numbed and it's a performance. You get your makeup done and your nails done before you go in for your scheduled C-section, and everyone's in the waiting room and they have a scheduled time because you know exactly how long surgery is going to be. And it's a performance, and a
It
painful
is.
one, a very sick ritual of our times. But that makes more sense that there's like everyone comes and sees the show, right? And sees
Exactly.
the product. It's a really different way of doing things than getting, down and dirty in your house,
Yeah,
and having like
exactly.
a spiritual, psychedelic experience with your ancestors and, doing the whole thing that we do over here.
And it's also like so like normal and primal, and just makes so much sense to me. And it's hard to see that the circus of the medical system is seen as so normalized. Like, it's just, it blows my mind every day, really.
But all that really matters, like how I reorient myself all the time, is like, well, it's not normal to me.
Yeah.
It's not normal to you. It won't be normal to Zephyr. It's not normal to my kids. My kiddo's 6 and a half, and she's like, what is a shot? the other
Yeah,
day. We like walked
exactly.
in on her and Solstice playing, and she was like giving her fake shots. And we were like, what is happening right now? And she's like, I don't know. I heard someone talk about shots. Is this how you do it? And we were like, wow, this is really funny. You know,
So funny.
but my point really is that, you know, women all the time will ask me, you know, when will free birth be normal? When will this stuff be normal? And I'm always like, it is for me.
It's normal now, if you
Yeah,
want it
that's
to
all
be.
I know about. And that is how change occurs. And it, you know, change happens in our homes. It happens first within ourselves and then in our homes and our marriages and then in how we parent. And it's actually not that hard to like steer the ship back. Right? You can do it in one generation.
Exactly, which is amazing
Thank
to
God.
know.
Yeah.
And I think I really came to terms, or I really like felt that what you just said whenever I had my closing of the bones ceremony with you guys and for me and Julia. And you said something to me during the ceremony of like, you did it, like you healed all of this for generations and for your, whatever. Something along those lines. And I just like broke down crying. And I was like, oh my gosh, like that's all it took. Like that was it.
Yeah,
Amazing.
because it's not an isolated event, right? Because it's the ripple effect we keep talking about. It's not just birth, except birth is everything. So it's like both and at the same time, like choosing to free birth also then. You know, is all the stuff you already mentioned. Like, you don't take your kid into the system. You're not going to indoctrinate your kid. You're not going to hand your kid over when he has a fever. Like, it's just not like that. There's an intact, there's a wholeness in the knowing of your own capacity as a mother and in your own trust of your, you know, ability to listen and to exist as a mother with this baby. That confidence really can't be, like bought, you know, it's so big. It's such a big deal and it affects everything moving forward. And like we said earlier, it really shakes off a lot of the bullshit and just, gosh, it really does just change and rewrite so much of the old story. It's like this one specific thing, and yet it sets a foundation for an entirely new slash old, you know, way of being and living that feels better. It feels good,
Yes.
you know.
Yeah, it feels right. I mean, it just is, there's just this knowing.
I mean, if you think about it, like our entire culture is set up on making us as females the most insecure, the most, you know, self-loathing, the most in competition, you know, to the degree that we would get plastic surgery and you know, paint our faces and hate each other and, you know, all the crazy shit that is
Yeah.
going down out there. And this is just totally incompatible with that. It's a completely like who a woman is whole. She just doesn't surrender her baby to the system. She just doesn't. It just wouldn't even make sense. It's, you know, Sister Morningstar talks a lot about the she-wolf or the mama bear, and that the mama bear, you know, the mama bear would kill before she lets you take her baby. And I've cried a lot, you know, in my life as a birth worker to watch how tamed women are and tamed mothers are, where they just allow people to take their babies. And I'm saying this with a lot of sensitivity, you know, intended. Like it's not even a judgment of any particular story or person. You know, some of you listening have been that woman, but wow, like what a thermometer or what a barometer of where we're at in our tamedness that we've strayed so far from the mama bear, you know, and there is something undeniable in the way that I have birthed, in the way that I mother, that it is not in my consciousness. I'm not available for that. You know, I hear these stories about how when you get the tongue tie, you know, they don't let the mom go in, or the, you know, mom doesn't get to go in the ambulance, or the mom doesn't get to go into the OR. And I'm like, over my literal dead body, is
Yeah.
anything happening without me there? Like, for so many reasons, you know, and the fierceness that I know and would actualize, you know, it's not erratic, it's not chaotic, it's like it's very intelligent and it would be very organized and it, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to get a lawyer and I would do exactly whatever the fuck I need to do to make this go my way because I am the mama bear and I've worked really hard to allow that to come through me, right? It's in all of us because we are now by nature's design, wild, wild beings. You know what
Yes,
I
it's
mean?
just something that has been really watered down. I mean,
Yeah.
over so many generations of it is truly, I mean, it is really sad. Like I've heard many birth stories of, and I said this before, like a lot of women don't even know that what happened wasn't okay and that they were violated. And they just can't even, I mean, it's incredibly, incredibly sad. And I hope that one day we're back in a world where every woman gets to experience what we've experienced with motherhood and birth.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I can't even really imagine like
Yeah, we might not see it, but hopefully.
what industries would still stand. Like
Right.
what would it, you know, we would be matriarchal, obviously, so the whole structure would look completely different. Yeah. Okay, so then I'm gonna end this with seeing what you want to say to how would you say that free birth has changed you? Like, who are you now that's notably different from this experience?
It really has changed everything. I mean, in a sense, it's like I now, in hindsight, I think that I was leading myself to this and to stepping into my power and embodying my womanhood. And I see all the steps that I took to get here. But I mean, it really, when you show yourself what you can do and when it comes to pregnancy and birth and transforming into your mother, it's like this catalyst in your life. And I just don't put limits on myself anymore. Like, I don't feel like, oh, you can't do that. You can't live that life. You can't create that business. Like, it has just like dissipated all of that for me. And I just feel very powerful. I feel like a very powerful woman. And I just am so thankful that I got to experience it the way that I did, and that this is my only birth story.
So far.
So far, my first birth story.
Beautiful. Well, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
I love you.
I love you too.
So proud of you. It's really
Thank
cool
you.
to see and really inspiring. And yeah, let's take over Hayesville.
Let's
Okay, so we're gonna put your Instagram handle on here, but do you want to give your website for your clothes? Are you selling online yet?
not yet. That will be launching this winter. So
Okay.
as of now, just Instagram is the best way to get up with me and see my business, my life, what I'm doing.
Say your handle.
It's at divine_Appalachia.
All right. Thank you. Mwah.
Thanks. See ya.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. You can support this podcast by donating to it through the link in the show notes below, and of course, leaving an awesome review on whatever platform you listen on. The more reviews, the more visibility the show gets, so let's spread the good word of Sovereign Birth. Don't forget, you can watch our podcast interviews on YouTube and see the women as they tell their birth and power stories. And you'll also find our viral free birth collection of epic raw birth videos on our YouTube. Make sure you're subscribed to our channel. We've always got a lot going on at Free Birth Society, and you can find out all about it at freebirthsociety.com, at Free Birth Society on Instagram, and opt in to my newsletter below. We offer courses on free birth, authentic midwifery, the blood mysteries, as well as one-on-one coaching, in-person retreats, and of course, our annual women's gathering, the Matriarch Rising Festival. Our exclusive, private, vetted membership, The Lighthouse, is definitely something to check out if you're looking for a community of wise sisters to get guidance from and to meet in real life. Together we rise, sisters. We must speak our stories, fully claim our lives, and support one another. This is the living revolution, and I am so grateful to be in it with all of you. I'll leave you with our gorgeous Free Birth Society theme song, Wild Woman by Aruba Red.
I honor you for the wisdom you held, the ancient traditions of plant medicine and womb magic. I feel the spirit of the ancestors as I place my hands upon my belly. This sacred portal will be honored. Eons upon light beams of survival, withstanding the eradication of our power by design. I will not allow the separation of our young to be forced upon me. My sisters will no longer birth in captivity. The picket line redefined from burning our wild women to paralyzing us and drugging our babes. Strapped down in a clinical white bed, drying up the milk from our breasts, keep your needle. My family will never again be doomed to chase those dragons or your poison. We reject your fear. We choose love. Everything with intention. Death, ascension. I will fly and bring her back from the stars.